Mark Dacascos, thank you so much for coming on my show. I really appreciate it. How are you?
I'm doing really well, Scott. Scott Adkins, it's an honor to be talking with you. I'm a huge fan, so thank you for having me.
The honor is absolutely mine. I've been watching your films right from the very beginning. I've seen many of your films in the theaters. I remember watching Only the Strong in the theater when I was a teenager. I remember watching Crying Freeman in the cinema. Is it true that Crying Freeman has not had a release in the States, or it has now?
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you. And yes, that is true. Crying Freeman was never released on the big screen in America. And just recently, the last couple of years, came out on streaming with very little, with no publicity. And Scott, you know how this is, business and life. It never got its turn in North America, but we did enjoy some love from people in Europe and Central Asia, Russia and Asia. So, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, it was a really cool film, really stylish. And you, of course, were great in it. But yes, Mark, I've been watching your stuff for a long time. When I'd made up when I had the idea in my head that I wanted to do, you know, what you were doing at that time, when I'd solidified that idea in my mind, you were one of the, you know, the top guys, and of course continue to be to this day. So thanks for doing this.
Well, thank you, Scott. Well, whatever you got from me, you took it, man, to the second and third level. So
I got plenty.
Thank you. Congratulations. And you're inspiring me. So thank you.
Well, I have to say, I mean, we'll get into everything, but just before I forget, when I was watching Only the Strong in the cinema and you did the butterfly twist, I had never seen that kick before. And I didn't even know what I was seeing. I couldn't even work it out.
Oh, cool.
Because especially the way they cut it.
Right,
like you did the twist and then they cut to another angle and you did the whole twist again.
Like never ending.
Twisting forever. I've never seen that kick. It was incredible.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Well, you know, the way I learned it, I had seen in 1980. So I was already living in Europe. I came back to the States in 1980 to participate in the summer competitions, martial arts competitions. And the Beijing Wushu team was in Oakland in the Bay Area performing. One or two of the performers in the Beijing Wushu team did a butterfly twist. And the reaction you had with what I was doing, I had with what they were doing. I'd never seen it before, but it was ingrained indelibly in my head. And for the next year and a half, 2 years, it just played in my head. And I thought, how can I do this? It looks like a butterfly, but then they do this twist. I guess I have to go for it because nobody I knew how to do it either. So it was just trial and error.
You taught yourself.
I taught myself hundreds, if not thousands of crashes on the hardwood floor, on carpet, on grass, sometimes with people watching and, you know, being amused. And other times, just me hours on end doing it by myself, crashing, until one day I remember I actually did it and it freaked me out. And I thought, I made it. And before I even tried it the second time.
What did I do differently?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I told myself before I even do it a second time, I've got to run back and at least have somebody witness, you know, the way you, your first reaction to it was the same reaction I had. What is that and how do I do it? You know?
Yes. Well, I mean, obviously it's a kick that's probably been done many times in China since however many hundred years ago, but that film, Only the Strong, was the first time I remember seeing it, thinking, what the heck is that kick? But anyway, what I'd love for you to tell our audience is just give us a brief background of your martial arts history, because I know it's a lot.
So my mother and father are both kung fu teachers. Al Dacascos created his own style called One Hop Kendo, which in English means combination fist art style. Imagine mixed martial arts, but no sport, all for the street. So eye pokes, throat hits, popping the ears, groin kick, kicks to the groin. That's our priority. It's street self-defense. I'm practical street fighting. He taught my mom. She became the first female competitor in the United States to be on the cover of Black Belt magazine way back in the early 70s. Her name is Malia Bernal de Cascos. So she was, for 5 years, ranked as one of the top female fighters in all of the United States. So my father was one of the few, if not only, kung fu guys at that time fighting in sport martial arts. So he fought against Bill Wallace, Joe Louis, Benny Kiedis, Howard Jackson, Cecil Peoples, Steve Sanders, all the greats at that time. Yeah. So it was very exciting. And my mom did the equivalent in the women's division. Although my mom was pretty tough. She actually asked my father if she could talk to the promoters and do forms and fighting against the men. And they said, absolutely not, for a lot of different reasons. But in a couple of tournaments, she was able to compete at least in forms against them. And she did quite well. In essence, the martial art that my mother and father teach, primarily street fighting. And then sport is, you know, one of the added things that we do now. And it was always very holistic, meaning spiritual, philosophical, health, and the fighting. My parents always said that it was kind of like car insurance. You have it, but you never have to want to, you never have to need to use it. You know, you never want that.
Yes.
Yeah. And just to wrap it up, my mom was kind of like the drill sergeant, and my dad maybe the captain or general, because my mom was the one that made us, man, she was tough. Scott, and you're a martial artist, so you get what I'm saying. She had this class on Friday nights, right? It was just 1 hour. We did three things for 1 hour. We did a 20-minute run, right? Just circular, back and forth. She'd say, change. We change movement really quick. Then we did, I kid you not, a 20-minute horse stance, like Chinese style, 90-degree horse stance. 20 minutes. Now, right now, if you were to say, okay, Mark, do one. Maybe 1 minute or 2 minutes and my legs are shaking. So for me to think about 20 minutes is incomprehensible. But at that time, we did it, 20 minutes. And anybody that came into that class, you know, my friend Emmanuel and I, we'd look at everybody, don't you come in here unless you're going to make that horse stance. Because if anybody came up, she'd make us start all over again. And fortunately, not that I can remember, nobody ever came up because we didn't want to do it again, you know. But a 20-minute horse stance, 90-degree, and she weighed at that time about 115, I won't go up. I'll just say 115 pounds, mom. And, and you know, randomly, she'd come up behind us and stand on our legs. So she'd do a horse stance on our horse stance. And we, you know, we did that, 20 minutes. And then we wrapped up the class with 20 minutes of offensive and defensive side kicks on those airbags, taking turns.
Yeah.
But like a drill sergeant, she got us in such great shape that whatever, for the most part, my father wanted to teach us, we were equipped to learn it.
Wow, there wouldn't be enough strength left to do anything with your father. So yeah, who was the toughest, your mother or your father? It sounds like your mother's the toughest.
Oh, man. You know, in a lot of ways, she was. I mean, Dad, of course, you know, he had the techniques and the strategies and all these ideas. And so did my mom. But she was certainly more of the drill sergeant. I mean, she prepped us for him, you know. And like you said, if we could walk, we could actually train with him. But yeah, a lot of times we do the one class with her and that was it.
Would you say that way of training made you mentally tough?
Scott, 100%. Yeah. I can say that, okay, so, you know, from what I've heard about you and read about you, because, you know, let's let everybody know, we've never met in person yet.
No.
I'm a fan of yours from afar, you know, it's like, so this is fantastic that we actually get to speak.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a pleasure. I would be dead after the 20-minute run. Sure. I mean, these days, maybe. But I watch you on Instagram. I see the training that you do now. I see you doing the hill runs. I've seen a video on YouTube. I think you were with a Muay Thai instructor. And I kid you not, it's something like a 60-minute video of you just kicking. It's 6 minutes. It's like a whole Thai boxing lesson, but there's no swapping pads and taking turns. You kick in for 60 minutes, hardcore into the you know the Thai pads.
But yes, I think for sure it was, you know, my father's style, but my mom's training 100%, because, you know, she being a champion herself, I'll just say straight, she's the type of person that just said, if you take second place, you're still a loser. Now, for a lot of people, that's hardcore and that's not right. And I understand that perspective. But for my mother and what we were doing, there was only first place, you know? Yeah. And that was that. And I'll just add to that unlike my mother and father, and I'm going to lump you in there, man, Bruce Lee and Scott Adkins, you guys went out and found martial arts. I did not. I was grabbed and said, you're going to do it. I can honestly say with an open heart, as much as I love martial arts, I don't know if I would have ever gone to it and trained that hard on my own. A fan of it, to watch you guys and women, absolutely, absolutely. I love watching it. But to train that hard, and you know, I fought for 11 years competitively. As a kid, I wanted to go outside and ride my bike and hang with my friends. Yeah. I didn't want to go into a high school gymnasium or college gymnasium or auditorium that smelled of sweat and blood, and have that energy and know that I was voluntarily going in to fight somebody that I had no beef with. You know, that wasn't my natural sentiment. I wasn't that natural fighter guy. My grandma Jane says I'm a lover, not a fighter. And
what I get from your personality, I must say. You're a very fun-loving guy, you seem to be.
Thank you. Well, you too, though, Scott. I've seen you fight, man. So.
It's interesting you say that, because I remember Brandon Lee saying at some point that he kind of was almost probably made to do a lot of martial art by his father, Bruce. And then after Bruce Lee died, I remember him saying that he had kind of a love-hate relationship with the martial arts and fell out of love with it. And then later on in life, he found it again and started training a lot. But you still train now.
I do. So this is the thing. You know, at the very beginning, I didn't want to do it. And then they got into, they basically told my brother and I we're fighting. I love fight training. I love sparring hard, you know, safely. But I don't want to hurt anybody. Yeah. And I don't want them to hurt me, you know, if that's possible. You know, so I love the martial arts movement. And I love the training, and I love to know that if an altercation happens, you know, I know a little something about protecting myself, you know, but main thing is I don't want to have to use it, you know.
Did you grow up in Hawaii?
So born in Hawaii. I was there until I was about six. Then I was living with my grandparents. Then I moved with my dad, mom, and brother in Colorado. We were there until about 12. And then 12 until 18, I was in Hamburg, Germany. I was in Europe with a six-month stay in Taiwan when I was 17. So it's very crazy. I moved around a lot. When I was growing up, I didn't see any Asians in films. When I was 10 or 11, I saw the trailer of Enter the Dragon, and it just, you know, blew my mind. So already a fan of Bruce Lee. Then in Germany, when I was 13, 14, something like that, they were playing Jackie Chan films. So then became a fan of Jackie Chan. And then when I was 16, I saw my first Jet Li film, The Shaolin Temple.
Okay.
And that is still in my films. But I thought, that's what I want to do. I can practice martial arts, study philosophy and Buddhism, and, you know, I guess share love through arts and philosophy. based off of Jet Li's character in the Shaolin Temple. So I told my dad, I said, I need to be a Buddhist monk.
So that was a real milestone movie for you then.
That was the movie. And I just thought that's it. You know, I want to learn about the spirit and the energy in the world. I want to practice martial arts and share the goodness and my joy for that and movement, you know, with other people. I was romanticizing myself in a small village, just living this certain life. And at the time, my father didn't have any contacts in mainland China, but he did have some friends in Taiwan. And he knew of this very amazing Northern Shaolin, Qin Na, Shui Jiao teacher in Taipei. And so when I was 17, my father took me, we left Hamburg, Germany, went to Taipei. And for 2 weeks, my father helped me find an apartment and a roommate, set me up in my Mandarin Chinese school, and of course introduced me to my Kung Fu teacher. And then he left. So now I'm in Taiwan, and I'm very excited because, you know, I'm getting closer to my dream of speaking Chinese and being a monk and doing martial arts in Asia. And for the first 2 weeks, all I did was the frickin' horse stance, Mabu.
Well, you were good at that.
Oh my God.
I bet they were looking at you thinking, this guy, he's good at the horse stance. We're gonna have to make him do it longer.
Yeah, Scott, I was thinking, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You know, I go there and...
This is what I've come all the way to Taiwan for, more horse stance.
All the other students, the men and women, they're doing these amazing forms and techniques and kicks and this and that. And teacher looks at me and says, Mabu. So I do the Mabu, and you know, the first day I'm thinking, okay, surely 10, 15 minutes or whatever, 20 minutes, I'm shaking. Then I have to come up and I'm thinking, is he expecting me to just stay down? But I couldn't. I had to come up and I shake my legs and then, you know, I go back down as much as 4 hours later. That's all I did. I salute. And then he says, Ming Tian Jian, see you tomorrow. I'm like, okay, maybe I start tomorrow. I came back, Mabu. You know, 2 weeks plus, and then I started realizing, oh, this is really cool, because just like the Shaolin Temple, he wants to see if I'm serious or not. So yeah. Then I just thought, this is awesome. And I'm pretty sure that's part of what it was. So I thought, I have to prove myself. I have to prove that I'm disciplined and I'm serious and I'm punctual and I'm gonna try my hardest. So, you know, after that initial day or two, I just thought this is part of the training. Mm. And so I got there early. As much as I could hold my 90-degree horse stance, I did. My legs shaking, sweating, all that. And after 2.5 some odd weeks, I got to train with the school, with the rest of the students. And it was the most amazing thing. And am I grateful to my mom for having me prepare for the horse stance, the Mabu, you know? Yeah.
How did you get into the film business then? How did that come about?
Okay, yeah, that's a crazy story.
That's what we're here for.
All right. So after Taiwan, the monkhood thing didn't happen. After 6 months, or during the fifth month, I think, my uncle came to Taipei from Honolulu, and he was a professional dancer, had a dance troupe, and they were touring Asia. And he had these beautiful Hawaiian girls doing hula and stuff. And he asked me to come and watch them. And I realized that I like girls too much. So the monkhood didn't happen.
Oh,
sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, gosh darn. I'm now 18, almost 19 years old in San Francisco. I'm walking to lunch, having taught martial arts classes for my mom. She had a school in San Francisco. And on the way, two guys stopped me and they said, we're doing this movie. Are you interested in auditioning? And I said, no, thank you. And they said, you don't want to do a movie? And I said, nope, I'm not an actor. Oh, well, do you want to try? And I said, actually, no, thank you. And one of them said, Chris Lee, who went on to become this huge producer, he said, well, please take our number. And if you change your mind, give us a call. I said, thank you so much. Later that day, I talked to my mom and I said, yeah, the, you know, I was asked if I wanted to audition. She goes, why don't you do it? And I said, excuse me? Yeah. You know, you thought you wanted to be a monk. That didn't work out. You know, you're thinking about the military, but I really can't see that for you. Life is twists and turns. It's a roller coaster. Just give it a chance. Try it. And I thought, well, acting, you know, that wasn't really my thing, but okay. So I go on audition and 3 days later, I get this phone call that I got the job. And I thought, oh, now what do I have to do? You know,
because what was the film?
Oh man. Okay. I'll tell you.
I'm dying to know.
All right, Scott. So listen, I'd never taken any drama classes. I'd never done a play in my life. It just wasn't even in my idea. I loved movies, but never thought about being in it. Didn't want to. I just liked watching them, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, first day on the set, the director happened to be Wayne Wang, who went on to do The Joy Luck Club, right? Big movie. Okay. And this beautiful Chinese young lady is sitting on this car. She's, you know, I find out that that's going to be my girlfriend in the movie. That's Joan Chen. And she was 21 years old. I was 18, almost 19. And Wayne Wang said, okay, in this scene, I want you to improv. Joan is studying German. You speak German. So I want you to improv in German that you haven't seen your girlfriend in a long time. And when you walk up to her, you have a few words in exchange, and then you kiss. And now this is my first time on a set. I'm not an actor. And I'm like, what? You know, kind of like, wow, but cool, but what?
You know? A stranger?
Yeah. And I'm like, I said, Wayne, how do you want me to kiss her? And he says, well, how do you kiss your girlfriend? And I went, in my mind, I'm going, are you serious? What? You know, I don't even know this girl, you know?
Yeah.
And they're paying me to do this? anyway.
And then you thought, I want to be an actor.
Scott, you know what I mean? You're 18, almost 19 years old, beautiful girl. You're getting paid for, you know, I had fun. I think she probably
did. What film was this, Mark?
This film was called, Dim Sum.
All right. Remember when I said I'd seen all of your movies? I lied. I don't know about this one.
No, it's okay, Scott, because this one, what happened was when Wayne was in post-production, initially, the movie was going to be about five girls, and he cut it down to just two. And Joan Chen's part was cut down to you know, the minimal. And my scenes with her were then out.
All right.
So I'm not technically in the movie anymore. However, outtakes of Joan and I are in the outtake reel, and we took second place in some competition in New York. But right. Yeah, so first experience.
It gave you the bug. It gave you the acting bug, did it?
It did. It was like, huh, this is interesting. I then went into taking drama classes at university. And what I loved was the storytelling. And I don't know, in my mind, it felt very, very much like a different version of, I guess, when we're doing our job well, being a teacher, an inspiration, sharing truth, you know? So I don't know. I just equated it to a different version of being a monk, if that even makes sense. But, you know, I'm going to go with that, Scott.
Sharing truth. You know? That's an interesting, yeah, sharing truth. We spend most of our time on set trying to be truthful. And if we can reach that,
yes.
To share that, of course.
That's exactly it. Yeah, that's exactly it.
That's the eternal struggle, isn't it? Finding the truth of that scene.
Yeah. It is, you know, whether it be physical dialogue, as in a fight scene or dancing, or actual verbal dialogue, you know, it's the same thing, just in a different way, right?
So it's an interesting film, this was. I watched it quite a bit. Bit of a mixed bag, I would say. But yes. Something that I liked about it a lot, and I used to watch it quite a bit as a teenager. You're great, as always.
Thank you, Scott. Tony is married to Juju Chen.
Oh, really?
And Tony went on to direct, so he's directing now, and we're still friends.
Yeah, I know Juju. So had you done much sword work before this?
A lot of sword work in my mother and father's style. You know, we work with short weapons, long weapons, traditional and modern. So yes, but I had never trained specifically the katana until I went to Israel. And we had this amazing sword master in the Japanese arts train with us for 6 weeks before we started filming, back when we had, you know, time to practice and rehearse.
Back in those days that I've never really seen. Well, you're pulling it off. You're looking like a proper samurai here.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. So I had heard about capoeira since I was 17 years old. One of my father's students, Sifu Bill Owens, in the Bay Area, he'd studied some capoeira down in Brazil. So at 17, I'm with Sifu Bill, and he's saying, you know, I've studied this thing called capoeira, Brazilian African martial art. Why don't you just try to throw some punches at me and kick me? And he started doing the Jenga and moving around. And I thought, wow, this is amazing. You know, no real stance. Everything is in movement, and not just laterally. It's up and down, you know? Yeah. So I had an idea of what capoeira was before I actually started taking classes. Cut two. I'm now 27, and I'm going through a hard period in my life, and I needed something different and new. And my other friend, Earl White, said, you've got to try this, you got to try capoeira classes with my teacher. I'm in Santo. He's right in Santa Monica at the airport. He's got this school at the airport. So I thought, why not? I need a change in my life. I drive up to the hangar in Santa Monica, and as I get out of the car, I'm hearing the birimbau and the drums, and I'm hearing singing, and I remember getting this big smile on my face before I even saw who was doing, you know, making the sounds. And I walk into the school, and there's a Mestre Amen with his dreads and a big smile, and his students flipping and kicking, and I was so jazzed up, man. I'm 99.9% sure I joined right then and there and started taking classes before I knew about Only the Strong.
Right.
And
how long before?
About 3 months.
Oh, so quite close to getting the part then, almost like it was destined.
Well, yeah, I guess my point is, it's, you know, I found that in my life, at least, when I put energy into something, it comes back. It always comes back in a positive way. Somehow, not always a job, but somehow it leads me to something else or somebody else or somewhere else. And it's always a positive thing, you know? So I put energy in, I trusted my friend and my instinct and started taking classes. And then 3 months after training with Mestre Amen, Catherine James calls me and says that these producers, director, writer, they want to meet you because they're doing this movie with capoeira. And I thought, wow, I just started 3 months ago.
So Sheldon Lettich directed Only the Strong, right?
Yes, Sheldon Lettich directed it. And I am forever grateful because, you know, you get a director behind you that supports you and fights for you to get the job. So he was very supportive and you know, coached me and wanted me to be the guy, as well as Luis Esteban, who was the writer of the script. And so I met with the producers, and then the studio, 20th Century Fox, wanted me to do a screen test. And so that was old school with the big 35mm cameras in the studio. Makeup, I had to do a physical martial arts, you know, screen test with my movement. And then I had
Well, I've got that bit in the bag.
and then I had to do a couple of scenes, you know, of the dialogue
You should have said, why are you even getting me to do the martial arts? Come on. Who are you trying to kid?
Because they wanted to see the capoeira, you know.
Is it true that they asked you to put on a bit of muscle for only the strong?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Sheldon, how did you feel about that? Was it something you could have done without? Or?
You know, I think I could have done the movie without putting on the extra weight. But I understand what Sheldon wanted. He wanted this, an ex-special forces soldier.
He was used to working with Van Damme, who's the muscles from Brussels.
Exactly. And at that time, that was really a thing. It was like, you know, more size and all that. So although it doesn't come, it's not natural for me. I don't feel my ideal with more weight like that. For the character, 100% I agree with Sheldon and producers. I think it was the right thing to do, but I wasn't used to, I worked with one of my friends to put the weight on. He's a professional bodybuilder. So I wasn't used to eating 5 or 6 times a day and spending 2 hours, hour and a half to 2 hours a day, Monday through Saturday in the weight gym. And then going off and doing, 2 different sessions with Mestre Amensanta with Capoeira. So it was a lot of training. I loved it. I did love it.
Did it feel harder to do like a back somersault with the extra weight on? Or?
Because I was working the whole body, with the legs as well.
Yeah.
It wasn't too bad, but I did notice that although I have more strength, I also have more weight, you know? So I suppose,
you know, pressure on the joints, I find
that
100%. Yes. Well, let me just say, I've got to point this out, because the first time I saw you do this kick, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. It was absolutely the way they edit it here. It goes on forever. I was like, what the hell did he just do?
Well, Scott, you know, I only did a 1+, right?
Yeah.
And then you land it. So it's a little more than a 360. But I know you guys are doing doubles and triples nowadays.
Yes. No, the trickers today are doing things that you can't even believe. Crying Freeman, very stylish movie based on a manga.
That's my wife right there, you know, Scott.
That's right. Yes, tell us about that.
Yes, Julie Condra. We met on the plane going up there, and before we met, actually, Christoph had shown me Julie's audition reel, and he had a close up of her face, and then zoomed in on her eyes, and she did one of the scenes and, you know, you see her eyes well up and then she dropped the emotion and she was amazing. We met on this film, 25-26 years later, we're still together. You know, we dated and were engaged for almost 3 years, yes. But you know, 20 some odd, we married in 1998. And we have 3 kids, an almost 20-year-old, an 18-year-old, and a 14-year-old daughter. So, you know, that movie is very special to me.
Yeah, it must be, yeah.
And Christoph Gans, who directed Brotherhood of the Wolf, we met on Crying Freeman. He directed Crying Freeman as well.
So you did Brotherhood of the Wolf with him as well?
Yes.
Did you do another film with him, or just the 2?
Just the 2. And, you know, before we leave these bodies, Christoph and I hope to find something else we can collaborate on together.
Yeah, good director, man. Very stylish. Always looks slick, his movies. So Drive, for me, is one of the best martial arts films ever made. Arguably the best American-made martial arts film, from the 90s at least. Absolutely incredible. I worked with Yuji from Alpha Stunts, never worked with Koichi, but I know that those guys were sleeping on the set and never stopped working. You know, Drive is like revered for guys like me, you know, and stunt people and all the rest of it. When it came out in England, they advertised it like it was some sort of driving movie. I know it's Drive, but it was you and the other guy.
You
and him on the poster and a car in the background. Right. Like, this is one of the best martial arts films ever made, and there's not even a click on the poster. What's going on?
I don't know, man. I don't know. But, you know, it's interesting that you say Koichi sleeping on the set, because they were. I mean, from probably the first week, Koichi and team, they were pretty much 24 hours a day on set with Steve Wang, our director. And then by the second week, you know, we had Steve and Koichi wanted to do so much action that they asked me if I didn't mind, you know, working, you know, 7 days a week, sleeping there as well. And, but yeah, you know, Steve warned Kadeem and I from the very beginning. He says, there will be pain on this movie. He says,
Nice of him.
Yeah.
can I just interrupt? I just want to highlight this stunt that you do now. And it is a stunt.
Yes.
And, you know, give it up for Mark Dacascos here.
Thank you.
Check that out.
Thank you, Scott. Oh, cool. Thank you, Scott. but yeah, before we started shooting this, Steve had Kadeem and I over to his house, and he said, and with Koichi and some of the guys, and he said, there will be pain. I want to pay homage to, this is Steve saying, I want to pay homage to the Hong Kong and Chinese movies. We need to make contact. So you and Kadeem will more than likely have a lot of bruises, you know, and I remember Koichi laughing and the guys laughing and Kadeem and I like, okay, we're in, you know, but.
Look at the way you kick this guy now. Bang. I can see that you're putting the force in there. But that's what makes it so good.
Thank you. Well, and they did, you know, and I've got to give it up to the stunt team and Koichi, because, you know, we had two units going on. We had obviously dialogue and some action, and then action unit. So in the opening scene on the ship, that's all me doing my own fight. In this, of course, when you see my face, it's me fighting. Most of it's me doing the fighting, but some of the stunts and the tricks, like this, the high doubles, that's not me. I cannot take credit. I don't know who the stuntman was, but that's a stuntman doing it.
And is this this is purely because, I mean, you know, I know that you can do most of the stuff in this, and doing the back somersault off that thing proves it anyway, but it's right. Because he was shooting two units at the same time.
Yes, a lot of it was because we physically could not get there in time. You know, while we're doing this, we're doing the other scenes with Brittany Murphy and Kadeem, and the fighting's going on. You know, we only had a very small amount of money. We were shooting 6 day weeks. Now that it's all this time later, I can tell you we were pretty much shooting 7 day weeks, and we were sleeping on the set. And we were all doing that with full passion, and we wanted to. So yeah, it was physically impossible for me to do it as, you know, as much as I wanted to on my own.
This is, in my opinion, you working at your optimum with these guys, the age you are probably. You know, how old are you here, Mark?
I'm 32, 31, 32.
Yeah, so that's, I mean, I feel like I was around my peak when I was early 30s, to be honest. Obviously, I've got more experience and knowledge now, but right. Just in terms of physically, right. When I was doing like Undisputed 3 and Ninja,
yes,
or in my early 30s, I felt like that was me at my best.
You're still looking great though, Scott. Hey, man, let me say that, Ip Man 4, seriously, one of my favorite all-time martial arts story movies. Just you guys, you and Donnie and your cast and crew, you guys were phenomenal. So thank you for that. I teared up, man, a bunch of times in that movie. It was really great. So you guys had the story, the relationships and the fighting, fantastic.
Yeah, no, it's a very emotional ending to that film, obviously. What happens, not giving anything away, but hopefully people have seen it by now. A difficult character to play, of course, because he's, you know, such a bigoted racist, you know, and all the rest of it. But I wanted to portray the character that the director needed me to in order to tell his story.
Absolutely.
And you know, I kind of
enjoyed it. And you did it. Villain. You did it. You did it.
There's so much to talk about with you, but I have to talk about John Wick.
Okay.
How did that come about? And can I just congratulate you on your performance in that? You've done so much amazing stuff, but it was so good to be able to go back and see you in a huge movie like John Wick 3. And
thank you,
the main villain, and did a fantastic job. What a character.
Thank you, man. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. I was in New York working with my Shakespeare teacher, Patsy Rodenberg, from London.
And I would want to talk about Shakespeare as well, Spence, but...
Okay. We will. But anyway, so I've been working with Patsy Rodenberg for many years, and I was out there doing another workshop with Patsy. And I get home from class one night, and my reps call me and say that Chad Stahelski of the John Wick movies would like to meet you tomorrow. He's in New York. You're in New York, so make it happen. I said, absolutely.
Did you know Chad from before?
No. I knew John Wick movies. I knew Chad's name. I know his reputation and his work from The Matrix and all these things, but I'd never met him in person that I can remember. Although he said that we may have met each other in passing briefly, but in terms of actually speaking and talking, no. Yeah. So I go in before class, before Shakespeare class the next day. I meet with Chad. I was in there for 2 hours, and he says, you know, I already have the lead villain cast, but I'd like to offer you maybe a cameo, you know, one dialogue scene and a fight scene, probably in Morocco or, you know, one of the other locations. And I said, Chad, I would be honored. Thank you. Yes, I'd love to. Cut to a couple months later, and I hadn't heard from him. And, you know, with productions and shooting, maybe plans have changed or my part was cut out or whatever, you know, life happens. But I was thinking about it. Mm-hmm. Then in May, I get a text on a Sunday night, and it's Chad. And he says, hey, DeCascos, call me in the morning. And I said, okay, Chad. I text him back. I will do. So I call him Monday morning. I say, hey, Chad, you know, you okay? Can I help you? And he goes, I hope so. And I said, okay, what's going on? He says, well, plans have changed. The original actor for the lead villain is no longer working on the show, and I would like to invite you. And I said, you would like to invite me to what? And he says, to play the lead villain. And I said, I'm in. He says, no, read the script first. I said, don't need to, Chad, I'm in. Yeah. He goes, read the script. I said, okay, fine.
Should have phoned him up and said, I don't want to do it.
Yeah, all right. I said, Chad, of course, it's great. I'd love to do this. Are you open to me, you know, playing with the character? He says, DeCascos. He goes, we're going to collaborate. I want you to make it your own. I said, thank you so much. Chad, you know, I'm in Los Angeles. You're in New York. When would you like me there? He goes, come tonight. I went, oh, prep time. So...
Did they give you much time to rehearse the action, or?
You know, they had ideas of what they wanted to do, but anytime we had free, that, you know, Keanu was working nearly every day. But, you know, I have to say that Keanu Reeves, 100% true professional. When he wasn't working, he'd come before or after and make it to fight rehearsals. Insane, you know. But yeah, we would rehearse anytime we could on set, in the studios. Just piecing things together. And, you know, when it came to the final fight scene, that took over 3 or 4 weeks to shoot because of time and shooting other scenes in between. So we'd start it, go off, do Grand Central Station or Times Square, then come back and work on the final fight. And during that time...
That's good to get some rest in between to let the body heal, yes. I think.
Yeah, and change, and the fight scene would change and evolve. You know, we'd have things planned, and then Chad would say, you know what, I like that, but I want to do something different. And so he'd give us a little time, and we'd change it on the set. You know how that is. You know, just working improv and flowing.
Was it difficult working with all these windows? Did you ever, like, walk into one?
Oh, I there was probably a half a dozen times where I almost did, but fortunately we had a lot of people on set making sure that everybody was safe. But yeah, it was difficult. And there's a sequence here where I do four or five kicks back to back. And that was, we did that right before our break one night. It wasn't in the choreography. And then Chad said, hey, DeCascos, I want you to throw some kicks here. I said, okay. I said, how much time do I have? And he says, 4 or 5 minutes. I said, okay. So I went off, thought of a sequence that might kind of work in that space. And then Chad said, okay, well, show me what you got. And I did. And he said, okay, let's shoot it. And so we shot that right before lunch, you know, just he had a vision of it and added it in. So, you know, you come in with prepared things, but be ready to improv and flow.
Oh, you got to get DeCascos to throw some kicks for sure.
Thank you.
Listen, if not, how is it working with Keanu Reeves with the fighting and everything? Because he's become like one of the greatest action stars we've ever known.
Yeah, Scott, he is, he's really everything that we hear about him on the internet and more. Yeah. He's incredibly kind and gracious and humble and collaborative, treats everybody with respect, was really a joy. It was a joy, and he works his butt off.
I can tell. You can see it in the movies.
You can see it,
I have to say that John Wick 3 is my favorite of all of them, and I love all of them, but John Wick 3 is my favorite because there's more martial arts, and obviously I'm a martial arts geek, and it's just fantastic.
Okay. Have you worked with Keanu yet?
No.
Okay.
No, I would like to.
If you guys work together, I know you guys will love each other, and he's wonderful, and he's strong, man. And strong hands. So when he grabs, man, I'll show you these pictures at some point, but I've got pictures, my forearm just bruised. He's like, oh, bam, mighty. I was like, oh, I hope you stay for a long time. These are from Keanu, you know?
Hey, I really want to work with Keanu, and I would absolutely love to work with you, Mark. At some point, I hope we get the opportunity.
I do too, man.
So much respect for everything you've done and continue to do.
Thank you, sir.
Be one of the best action stars that we've had.
Right back at you, man. You are doing great, and I want you to keep going, keep inspiring everybody, and I would be overjoyed to work with you.
I just quickly, can you just tell me a bit about your Shakespeare? Because I found this really interesting that you do Shakespeare in the Park and things like this, don't you?
Yes, I was supposed to. Right. You know, I've been studying Shakespeare for years with Patsy Rodenberg. And I auditioned for the independent Shakespeare company here in Los Angeles. And they do Shakespeare in the Park. And in 2018, the summer of 2018, they were going to do, they did Titus Andronicus, and I auditioned for the lead villain part, Aaron, and they offered me the role. So I got it.
Yeah.
And then a week or two after I booked for that, John Wick came, but the schedule allowed me to do both. So for the first 3 or 4 weeks while we're doing John Wick 3 in New York, I'm studying my massive monologues for Titus Andronicus that I was going to do right after I finished John Wick. But the schedule for my character went over time, and so I had to pull out of Titus Andronicus. But yes, I love Shakespeare. To me, it's been my sanctuary, improv and Shakespeare, because I do believe that the training you get working Shakespeare, whether you ever do a Shakespeare play or not, is invaluable. For an actor, for a person, because the stories we learn in Shakespeare's plays, and then the articulation and the voice and breath control that you have to speak his words, you know, and then the stagecraft can be applied not only to TV and movie work, but just to being human in your day-to-day life. I've learned so much from Shakespeare, and I've learned so much from Patsy Rodenberg. And this right here, I'm gonna plug it, Scott. She's written 5 or 6 books. This is her first one. Right. I've read it. This is my third time going back over it again.
Great.
Everything she writes is is invaluable, and I can use everything that Patsy teaches me in and around and for Shakespeare in martial arts. You know, it's so connected. You know this.
This is great. People have come here to listen to some kung fu stuff, and they've come away with Shakespeare. We're giving you everything in this show. Fantastic stuff, Mark. Yes, I did do quite a bit of Shakespeare back in the day.
Yes, I heard. Drama school. And correct me if I'm wrong. It helps, right? If not,
of course.
It's the support, the roots. Yes.
I mean, even as simple as if you know you want to learn dialogue and be an actor. Well, if you're learning Shakespeare's dialogue, you know, if you can grasp that, then the rest is going to be easy.
That's what I tell my friends. 100%. Yes.
Well, thank you, Mark. Thanks for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Scott Adkins, thank you so much, man. Keep going. You inspire.
Thank you. Inspiration from you, and I will continue to try and do my bit. Thanks a lot, Mark.
Aloha. Thank you, Scott. Cheers.